From KQED Public Radio and the California Report, this is the Capital Notes Podcast for Friday, June 3rd. I'm John Myers from KQED, and Anthony York back from, was it a short vacation?
It was a two-day break.
Two-day vacation. Just happened to coincide with the end of the week podcast.
Yeah, sorry about that.
You chose time off with your family
over
your podcast family.
Yeah, well, what can I say? They don't give me the same kind of guilt that my regular family does.
Yeah, well, you know. Today is the 3rd of June. As I said, we're 12 days from, oh, what fun, the first deadline for a state budget.
Right, the constitutional deadline for the legislature to pass a budget.
Yes, the first deadline. The one that we used to say wasn't important because it was just a date on the calendar versus July 1st, which was the beginning of the new fiscal year. And, of course, it was treated as unimportant in the legislature. I think it's been, what, 1986 since the last time a budget was passed by the legislature on June 15th. Though, asterisk, people will tell you the 2009 deal, which they approved in February, actually was before June 15th. But let's, you know, I'm not giving them the asterisk for today.
No.
I get the argument, but we're going to move on. So, yeah, we're sitting here a little less than 2 weeks away from that deadline, and Governor, in his very brief comments with the press this week, we haven't seen him a lot lately.
Not a whole lot. He was out twice this week.
Yeah. But said, oh, we're making progress. But, of course, my favorite thing that he said, where he said, but in my business, sometimes an inch really is a mile.
Yes.
So don't get your hopes up.
Right.
And we had a new poll this week that I don't think really changed anything.
Nope.
Great.
Tick that one off the list.
That excites you to listen to the podcast. I do want to talk about it, though, because it'll be interesting. And but let's go back to the June 15th deadline, which kind of came up today. The controller, John Chung, put out a formal statement on Thursday,
yes.
And backed it up by releasing a legal opinion that he had sought that says he will not pay lawmakers starting on June 16th. If they don't have a budget passed and sent to the governor under the provisions of Prop 25, which was approved by the voters last year, that says no pay if the budget's late. And the controller said, contrary to some of the musings inside the Capitol, he doesn't believe he has any authority to pay because even what they have done so far is not technically a passed budget.
Now, do they get back pay?
Do we know?
They don't get back pay.
They don't
pay.
Get it back. So. Wow. So
there you go. There's a little incentive for you.
Will that provide incentive? I don't know.
We'll find out. I'll tell you in 2 weeks.
So where do you think things are going at this point? What's your sense of this?
You know, it's really hard to tell. I mean, anecdotally, the conversations I've had with folks this week indicate that, again, they're close on a deal on a spending limit, some sort of spending limit, that they may or may not be close on pensions, and that the issue of taxes hasn't really come up yet. I mean, in terms of, you know, whether it's going to be a 4-year extension or a 5-year extension or, and a lot of those details just haven't really been worked out yet. And so, it's clear that there are talks going on with Republicans and the administration. I think there are sort of active negotiations. We saw the governor this week, speaking to the Chamber of Commerce, and you didn't have to read too far between the lines to get the sense that the Chamber is ready to support something very similar to the governor's plan. But again, this is deadline driven. We still have 2 weeks, so yeah, you know, next week and this week has also been busy with the House of Origin deadline in both houses, where assembly bills have to be out of the assembly by today, Friday. And similarly, Senate bills have to be out of the Senate by today. So I think now with some of that detritus cleared out of the way, these next 2 weeks are going to be, again, an intense period of focus on the budget.
You heard it there. Legislation is detritus.
Amen.
It's hard to cover.
For the vast majority.
And, you know, we can roll over a few of the highlights of that in a moment. But staying on the budget, you don't feel as though the parameters of the debate have changed. I mean, it is still what it is. It is still, yes, Republicans seeking additional concessions, protections, ideas. It's still Democrats insisting that There's got to be taxes in some way, shape, or form. There's the ongoing debate about an election and how that works. And I want to go back to the poll.
Yeah, that goes nice into the poll.
Anything. I mean, it is another one of those polls of showing that any elected official who's looking to the voters for guidance should not do that.
unless they like to walk themselves in circles.
Yeah, because the voters don't have an answer. The voters overwhelmingly want to vote. They support the governor's budget plan in theory until you start to ask them specifics about the taxes, in which case they oppose the governor's taxes. They support taxes for protecting education funding, but then they oppose any particular tax that they got talked about, and on and on and on.
Well, and it just shows, again, we've said this before, and it just shows, I think the administration believes this more than others, that it really is in how you frame the debate, how you frame the question. And the question, and the Brown administration believes that this election is winnable, that if the campaign is run properly, it's winnable. Others on the Democratic side of the ledger, including many of those groups who are going to be asked to pay for this election, don't, at least publicly, they don't seem to see it that way.
Yeah, and framing the debate is important. I mean, that's a good point to also highlight in this poll, because I think there was a, and others have pointed it out too, there was a very good window that this poll seems to either have provided or to validated that window exists for the governor, which is the poll asked about, do you trust state government or local government more? And people confirm they trust local government more, and they also want local government to have more power.
Did they ask people in the city of Bell that question?
Slightly different local government.
Okay.
And they say they trust local government to spend dollars from the state more. They want local government to have more control over spending dollars for the state. And gee, plan is out there that would send more services and control to the local level and give locals more power over some of those dollars.
It almost makes you think like this was thought out somehow.
Who has a plan like that?
Could it be? Is this your church lady impersonation here?
Satan? Yeah. No, it's not Satan. Sorry, Governor Brown. Yeah, it's the governor's realignment plan, his local state realignment plan. It may not fit perfectly in that construct, but it certainly seems to provide some guidance as to if the governor can make that case about the taxes that the voters don't seem to want. And it wasn't a blowout. I mean, it wasn't like 90% of the voters said no on those taxes. I think it's like 46% or
said
so
yes.
Said yes. So, I mean, it ain't great. Shocking.
But it's better than I believe, a better position than they were in 2009, I believe. Well,
and if the governor can find some way to make the case in the public about those taxes and local services.
Right.
Which he has done a little bit.
He's tried to do here. He has. I mean, from the beginning, he's...
I'm not sure that he's done it enough.
Well, but if you look at his budget plan, I mean, there's a reason why. I mean, it's a little bit of a fallacy to say that these taxes will go to fund realignment, right? That's what he said in his budget proposal. I mean, the reality is, when you're talking about the state budget, every dollar is green. I mean, you know, a dollar in, you know, is a dollar in, a dollar out is a dollar out. So to say that these taxes are going to fund the realignment, you know, it's a sales pitch is what that is. And it's a sales pitch. This is how the governor has tried to frame the taxes from the beginning. These taxes are necessary to enable us to bring government closer to the people.
Yeah,
whether or not you believe him is another question.
But let me interrupt just for fun. He has tried to frame it that way, but he has had to spend an inordinate amount of time trying to spend an inordinate amount of time trying to get Republicans to agree to an election. Now, that's obviously what he has to do with the Capitol, but he's won that debate in public. I mean, you know, these poll numbers certainly show that.
But it hasn't moved votes.
It hasn't moved votes yet, but I guess what I'm saying is that's what do you do if you're the governor or his team at this point, where exactly like we're saying here, it hasn't moved votes, but you've won that when in the court of public opinion. You know, so do you shift tactics? Do you only start to try to deal with that behind closed doors now about moving those votes that way? I mean, it's just it's a tough place to be, because every day that he has to keep talking about the election is a day that he's not talking about where the taxes go in his. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but
we'll have a get out there in the public.
But we'll have a campaign. I mean, if and when there is an election, we'll have a campaign, whether that's a 3-month long campaign or a 9-month-long campaign or something in between.
Well, in which case, then he might need to hope that it's a later election, even though he says he wants the election as soon as possible.
Yeah, well,
go figure.
Again, all these variables, you know, and you know, there's a lot of hypotheticals kicking around. I'm not sure. I don't know what to. I mean, I think the governor's right. For my discussions with Republicans seem to mirror with what the governor is saying. The Republicans who have been named as possible votes for a budget that includes taxes want an election in the fall. That's, I think, the governor. And so all this talk about, well, why don't they just do it without an election and just get the votes and be done with it? You know, I think the governor's right where he says, show me the votes for that. I don't see them. Now, a couple of things happening next week that are going to inform this discussion greatly. Number one is that this time next week, we will have gotten our first glimpse at new legislative maps, yeah, right, for yeah, the redistricting.
Right, exactly. Right. Sometime next Friday, right, so the end of next week.
Right, and so suddenly you could have situations where, you know, multiple members are find themselves in the same district, and if and how that will impact a budget vote is unclear, but I think a lot of people have been looking over their shoulder or looking ahead to June 10th, I guess, as this date for trying to get some more clarity about their political future and how a potential budget vote fits into that future. Another thing that I don't know if we talked about this, because I think it happened last week, was
when you were vacationing with your other family.
You sound like my wife. No. Anyway, the Supreme Court decision ruling that California's prisons were unconstitutionally overcrowded and the state has to release 30,000 inmates.
Or has to reduce the population somehow.
Yeah, I will reduce the state prison population. Now, who has a plan to reduce the state prison population by about 30,000 inmates and maybe kick them over to the local county jails? And who wants to pay for that with taxes to be approved by voters later this year? I mean, again, right. It almost makes you think like somebody thought this one out. So that's another pressure, and I think it's another another thing that the governor's going to try to use to help justify.
Well, then you could argue it's been a pretty good week for Jerry Brown.
Well,
No. I mean, seriously. I mean, and I'm not saying that. And I say that with a take it with a grain of salt. I mean, it's a really good week would be he got the budget done.
That would be a good week.
But a not so bad, not as bad as it has been week would be two things: external factors. One huge external factor: the court is much more of a real factor than the poll.
Right.
But two external things out there that help feed into that narrative if he can get that narrative going.
Although I'm not sure the poll told us anything different. I mean, the polls have shown this same sort of duality among voters, that they want a right to vote on the budget, but they want to vote no. well, you can debate the second part, but that this idea that the public wants to weigh in on these decisions has been pretty consistent in the polling since January.
I just meant the local state relationship part. That hasn't really been polled before. I mean, we haven't really seen those questions per se.
But it's so abstract. I mean, you know, what does that mean? And I don't know. This is the sort of thing that really moves people. I mean, look, we're gearing up for a presidential election. There are a lot of other things going on. People have their summer vacations they're dealing with. You know, I just don't know that people are sitting around the kitchen table waiting for realignment to happen. I don't think that's call me crazy.
Well, let's talk about. I want to just go back to some of the demands we've been talking about. I mean, the spending cap one is one I've spent some time on this week. I've got a story that airs Monday morning on the California Report. Sounds like I'm plugging it. About backwards a little bit on the whole history of spending caps in California, most notably the GAN limit, named after the late Paul GAN, that was approved by voters in 1979 and then modified pretty dramatically in 1990 to the point where this is one of those numbers that just boggles the mind, I think, of people who are not like you and me, in other words, normal people, which is that with all of the debate we're having over the budget and the taxes and all of this and everything else, the state would still be next year $17 billion below the GAN limit, even with the governor's budget. So it's not
much of a limit.
As critics would say, it doesn't really limit what the state is spending. Of course, others would say we need every dollar we can to replace all the cuts we've made. Like I said, you can hear that Monday morning.
Well, as we get into this cap discussion, I mean, I think if you listen closely to what the governor said at the Chamber of Commerce this week, and his discussion in the May revise, this notion of a wall of debt, right? This $34 billion. I mean, much of that debt, a significant chunk of that debt is what's known as the maintenance factor, debt that the state is obligated to pay to schools. These payments have been delayed, but will be paid back over time. And so when the governor now talks about a spending limit, he's talking about having the limit in place to pay down the wall of debt, right? And so you can imagine a scenario where schools think that sounds like a pretty good idea.
Well, right? Yeah. I was going to say it's the most overused cliche in politics and everywhere else, but the devil's in the details of a cap. Because, right. I mean, how the cap is fashioned. I mean, I talked to Anthony Canella, a Republican senator from Ceres, this week for my story, who's one of the Republicans who has been, you know, long negotiating mix with the governor.
Yeah.
And is kind of perceived as a point person on the spending cap issue. And you know, and we didn't get into lots of details. And, of course, Canella is still trying to figure out, you know, how it matters for him. And then the rest will have to figure it out. But how you craft this thing, it's a temporary cap idea is what we're talking about now. Right. Something that is somehow attached to the length of the tax extensions.
Right.
When they go off the books, the cap would go off the books. Maybe. Because Senator Canella also talked about that the cap needed to stay in place until debt is paid off. And how much debt gets paid off. Because, I mean...
And what about the new debt that's accrued in that time?
Yeah, but let's talk about it. I mean, $37 billion.
Wow.
You can't put the cap in place long enough to pay off $37 billion. So, and I'm not saying that that's what anybody is specifically demanding yet. But these are those particular details. Canella also talked about, I mean, you know this as well, Republicans say, well, we'll put the Prop 98 school funding guarantee outside of the cap.
Right.
That's fine, but also think
that's
about
fine for CTA.
That's fine for, right, it's fine for education advocates. It ain't so great for advocates of social programs.
Right.
Because if the Prop 98 funding continues unrestricted, except other than the law that already exists, and you're capping the rest of state spending,
right,
you may have to cramp down there.
Well,
in some places.
And this was this was the concern after Prop 98 was initially passed, was that suddenly education would become, and this was a reference that was poignant at the time, it would become the Pac-Man that gobbles up the rest of the budget because all of this funding would be dedicated towards schools. And
there
so they
part of my story about how the GAN limit was modified.
So they created Prop 111, which allowed for the creation of this maintenance factor and allowed for some deferral of payments to schools so that it wouldn't gobble up the entire state budget. So here we are again, you know, coming back to the same questions that have been vexing California politics and government for the last 20 or 30 years.
And the voters in this poll this week, I mean, 70-some percent said they want some strict limit on spending. And again, I worry
but not
about...
If it limits their services.
Well, exactly. But then they don't want cuts in education.
Of course.
And the voters are the ones who loosened the GAN limit in 1990, but they're also the ones who put it in place in 1979.
So there you go.
Bottom line, it's very difficult to get the voters to figure out exactly how government works. But hey, they like to vote. So we'll see where
the right state.
Yeah, we'll see where the cap plays off. And then, right, the pension issue is still out there. I don't really have any sense of where that's going. I mean, maybe you have from people you've talked to.
No, it's just like a couple of days. I mean, just again, off-the-cuff remarks from the governor this week seemed to indicate that at least at this moment in time, the pension talks weren't going as well as maybe we had heard a couple of weeks ago. So who knows? It's all a lot of moving parts, and we've still got a couple of weeks left to work all this out.
It's Anthony York from the LA Times, folks. I'm John Myers from KQED. Thanks.